Everybody, this is Paul, host of the Varmints Podcast, and you are listening to the Play Comics Podcast here on the Brain Trust Network.
And welcome to Play Comics, the show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stay to that source material. I'm Chris, and today I'm joined by Issa. How are you doing today?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? I'm doing very well, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad we can make this time zone thing work out, too, because as I'm sure everybody can tell, we're not from the same place.
Yeah, of course. The joys of the internet. We never had these kind of things a few decades ago, so we're going to use it for the power of good and have a really great podcast today.
I'm really excited. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. Today, we are looking at Spider-Man Return of the Sinister Six, released on regular Nintendo and the Sega Master System.
Yeah, I've actually been looking forward to this as well. And my boys, when I told my boys that I'm going to be on your podcast, they were super happy because it involves Spider-Man. And come on, who doesn't like Spider-Man? He's a great, great, great superhero. And I'm looking forward to talk about the Sinister Six as well, because I've actually got some interesting things to say about them, because I don't like them. Make me sound like a bad guy, but I think they're very interesting.
You know, anytime you can get a group of villains together, just all the backstabbing and fake friendship stuff just fascinates me.
Exactly, man. It's just it's an interpretation kind of the real world, isn't it? What's gonna happen when you get all those egos together in one place who are all trying to get, you know, one guy who they're just trying to take out? It's going to be a whole host of crazy stuff happening.
So I think the easiest place to start here, since everybody knows the Spider-Man origin, I've hit it a couple times already, is to focus more on the Sinister Six side of things, because we haven't really talked about them a lot in this show yet.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, when you like look at the name, the Sinister Six, I mean, that just rolls off the tongue quite nicely anyway. And these are all people that had previously, you know, tried and failed to defeat Spider-Man. And like you were saying, when they all get together, it's a bit crazy. Especially led by Dr. Octopus, who's just mad in all iterations that you find him in.
Dr. Octopus is just such an interesting character when you look at it, though. Otto Octavius was a atomic scientist who just had everything go wrong. You know, the girl he fell in love with at the science place that he worked at, his mom decided wasn't good enough for him. His mom died of a heart attack when they had a fight. He broke up with the girl, and then everything just kind of went crazy from there.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at someone's backstory, right, and that, you know, those kind of things have happened to them, you can't really blame them too much for things that they might do. The way, you know, the way that a character feels, the kind of decisions that they make, which end up being life-altering, but they kind of can't help but make certain decisions. So, like, look at what this guy's been through, man. He's been through a lot. Especially when you look at what he went through, because the way that I know Dr. Octopus is mainly through the movie, really, to be honest with you, Spider-Man 2, when they showed, you know, him, he's actually quite a decent guy. I mean, how things happened to him, the writers made it quite different. But it was still crazy. Like, his wife still died, you know, and he was just trying to get things right and, you know, be a really great scientist.
And it's crazy. Like, there are points in the comic history where he's dating Aunt May.
Really? I didn't know that.
She was getting really annoyed at Peter because Peter was kind of trying to keep them apart while also keeping his Spider-Man identity a secret. So you can imagine an old lady who had lost her husband not too long ago, how annoyed she would be that she finally found somebody that she can share her life with like that, and then her grandson's coming around trying to keep them apart.
Isn't it? She's finally getting, you know, someone to kind of start filling in that gap, that big hole in her life. You know, she's just lost someone that meant so much to her. And here comes Spider-Man. I'm almost making him sound like a bad guy, but, you know, Spider-Man's just young, isn't he? He's always in these kind of situations. These are the kind of things that he has to deal with. And he's not even Spider-Man. He's just Peter Parker. He's just there. He's dealing with this little stuff to do with his aunt. And he's also then, you know, some supervillain pops up somewhere in New York. And he has to, you know, he's got all this stuff going around in his head. He has to deal with so much. But that's crazy to find out that there was a story arc where Dr. Octopus and Aunt May started to strike up a relationship. I never knew about that.
Marvel Comics is where anything can come true.
Exactly. They kind of just write it in, innit? It's like, I can imagine how creative those people are. If they have like roundtable events, you can imagine the ideas that are flying around that table. Crazy.
I mean, at one point, Dr. Octopus gets the arm surgically removed from him, but the connection he has with him is so strong that he can still control him. So instead of the arms connected to his back doing everything, he can send the arms out all by themselves to go do whatever he wants.
Wow, so they're just going around causing havoc, and that's a great alibi, isn't it? What a great alibi, you know. I was here, you know, I'm on camera, sitting down, chilling, the whole time he's controlling his arms. That's really cool, actually.
You've also got Electro in here. Electro is a guy named Maxwell Dillon who just got hit by lightning, as people tend to do in comics, and gained lightning powers.
Yeah, a really cool power to have. If I'm going from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which my boys, they love that one. They love that film. And he's in that. He's kind of just trying to fit in. He's trying to be a good worker. You know, the day that he had the accident with all the electricity, it was his birthday. You know, he did an arc to become Electro. You know, a lot of the way that the Sinister Six became who they were was by some sort of accident happening to them. So that's how I kind of look at them. I don't look at them as just like, okay, they're baddies. I kind of look at them, you know, even when I talk to my boys, I kind of say to them, all right, so let's look at it from a different point of view, you know. Let's, because we always watch the Spider-Man films together, even some of the animated series. And I always say to them, oh, why do you think the character did this? Why do you think Spider-Man did this? And I'm just trying to get them to be a bit more savvy with looking at characters and not just think good and bad, you know, because there's always like a reason and stuff behind actions that the characters do. So yeah, Electro, really cool character, man. Really cool. I really liked Jamie Foxx's portrayal of him in the movie. It was really good.
What else is cool, too, is that in the comics, he at one point actually nearly killed Spider-Man.
Oh, really? In what happened? Explain to me how that almost came about.
So he builds up this electricity and kind of stores it inside of him. Spider-Man couldn't touch him without getting the shock.
Yeah.
So he goes, tries to do his Spider-Man webbing, which still has the physical connection there. or he goes and tries to punch him, and he gets hit with electricity. So he had to back off, grab some rubber gloves, make himself an electroproof suit so that he could go and actually attack and defeat Electro without getting electrocuted.
Hey, that's cool, you know, but do you know one of the things that I think's so cool about Spider-Man? He has to think of these kind of things when he's battling a lot of the superhero, a lot of the villains. So I can imagine that in the comic, he's thinking, oh, I can't do anything to this guy. I keep getting these crazy electric shocks. It's like, what am I going to do? I haven't actually seen that in the comic, but I can imagine he was thinking, and then he said, oh, let me go and get some rubber boots. And I can imagine him even wearing the stuff. I bet he looked really silly, innit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's Spider-Man, though. He's really relatable, because if you're in that situation, you're not going to be like Tony Stark. You know, Tony Stark's a different kind of character anyway. We'll kind of figure something out and make this suit that's going to transform into rubber or something. I can imagine he had to go. How did he even get the rubber boots and the suit?
I haven't read it for a while. I'm assuming he just went and grabbed rain boots.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine him swinging around and just quickly swiping some from a shop or something and then coming back to fight Electro. That's definitely Spider-Man like.
In this version of Sinister Six, you've also got Sandman, who is a guy named William Baker, later started calling himself Flint Marco. He was in a nuclear blast and got his body kind of melded with the sand that he fell into, and then pretty much his body became sand and he could make it whatever shape he wanted.
Yeah, that's really cool. Have you seen Spider-Man 3?
I have, and the way they did that was really cool.
It was so cool, wasn't it? I mean, I loved the way that they showed him, because there's so much that he's gone through. He's got a sick daughter who is just trying to help. He just really wants to help her. He's running away. I think he's running away from the police, isn't he? My mind's gone a bit blurry.
In that one, yeah.
And then he falls into the some big, massive, like a machine, whatever it is. And there's a really crazy scene, which every time I watch it, I'm just like face-palming. I'm like, what? You know when one of the scientists is like, oh, you know, there's a bit of disruption inside the container or whatever, big massive container. If it's, they say something like, I think it's something with some sort of a life force to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the other guys are like, oh, it's probably just a pigeon. Let's get on with it. And I'm like, what? Is that what we're doing here? And then obviously he's in there, trapped. And then, you know, after a really cool sequence, who do we get? We get the Sandman, you know, not happy, obviously, what's happened to him.
And if you don't care about a pigeon, that's still something that's going to go mess up your science.
Exactly. All this hard work that you've done, all of this work, all of this testing, and you're just going to be, okay, well, look, let's just press this button. You know, it's just one of those moments in movies where you just think, what? Are you guys a group of scientists? Really? You know? But, you know, I really liked his story arc. Even as the movie went on, and we find out that he was the guy that killed Uncle Ben, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going through it. He shows so much remorse, and Spider-Man even forgives him, you know. And I think even in the comics, I think there's even been a time where he's actually helped Spider-Man against Dr. Octopus.
I get the sense that Sandman doesn't really want to be a bad guy, It's just he gets put in these situations where he's got to make money real quick to take care of him and his family, and being a bad guy is the easiest way for him to do that.
It's a situation that, I mean, obviously everyone's different, you know. These are the kind of things that as a parent you want to if you are in a better position, okay, it's easier for you to make better decisions. So if you look at the position that this guy was in and what he was facing, to him, he felt like, look, this is what I have to do to keep my family safe. You know, you kind of have to feel for the guy, man. I remember when I first watched it, I was like, you know what, I kind of actually feel sorry for this guy.
Another guy I kind of feel sorry for is Vulture. He's just an old guy doing his electrical engineer stuff, and his partner goes completely screws him over. So he takes the jetpack he was working on, modifies it up to be like a super villain machine, straps it on himself, and starts flying around and trying to get back what his old business partner took from him.
Is that from in the comic book?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, obviously, again, like, because I'm not like a massive reader of comic books, but if I'm looking at his character in Spider-Man Homecoming, it's like you start watching the film and, you know, like, obviously, the writers of the film, they're going to put their own spin on things. It's going to be different to how the comic is and stuff, but it's like, because of the Avengers, all this work that he's been doing, he loses his whole business just like that. And even in the movie, when it happened, you're like, wow, is it really going to happen just like that? It's so quick. And he has to think fast, you know. You said that in the comic book, it's like his business partner screws him over. In Homecoming, it's like the Avengers kind of screwed him over. It's crazy, man. It's crazy because he's not even like, he's another guy that he just wants to support his family. We're kind of coming up with a bit of a theme here, but you know, it involves family, doesn't it? He just gets fired. He's thinking, how am I gonna have work? Even like in the film, it's like there is a character that he does kill, but it's kind of an accident, so it's very blurry. I like the way that they blur the lines. It's not just like good versus bad, you know. Really interesting.
Yeah, because even in Homecoming, he's not sitting there trying to like super plan out years and years of criminal activity. He wants to go in, get a bunch of money for him and his crew, and just kind of be done.
Yeah, it's not like you said, it's not like, okay, first we're going to take over this place, then we're going to do this, and I'm going to make sure that everyone, I don't know, like bows down to me or worships me. Like you said, he just wants to make sure him and his friends are supported. He's like a manager of like a factory, and then someone comes and used to close his factory down, basically. And he's a sympathetic boss, so he's just trying to find a way to make sure that his workers can still work. That's the way that I kind of looked at it, especially like more in like in the Homecoming way that they portrayed it, you know. But obviously, you know, he does do things that aren't too good, and obviously, you know, Spider-Man, he has to come through like he does. What did you think of the way that they portrayed him in Homecoming?
I really liked it. It caught the essence of the character without having to go back into the backstory. My favorite thing about Homecoming was that they didn't really get into the backstory of anybody too much. I mean, we've already had two series of Spider-Man movies by now. Everybody knows his backstory. I mean, I feel like everybody has seen too much backstory in Spider-Man. We just needed the good parts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we know his backstory is very, it's really cool, it's really interesting, it really shows, you know, why he does a lot of the things that he does and what he's going through. But like you said, it's the third kind of series of films. We're talking about from like Spider-Man, that came out, what, 2002?
Yeah, right around in there.
You know, and then the first three films, that's up to 2007. And then we had The Amazing Spider-Man. And then, you know, he shot up a bit in Captain in a Civil War. So it's so much, like, why waste time? I think you're right. It's like you just, they give you a little bit because, like, you basically know the backstory. And it's like, so let's move on. Let's keep it going. So, yeah, I did like the way they did that as well. That was cool.
One person that I'm really excited to see pop up in a Spider-Man movie eventually is Mysterio.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Mysterio, like Spider-Man, what does he call him? Like, he calls him Fishbowl Head or something.
Fishbowl like Head is the main one, but a whole mess of names along those lines.
Yeah, man. So much. It's like, that's a cool thing about Spider-Man. You know, I'm a little bit like that in terms of like teasing people to kind of throw them off balance a bit. So, you know, like when he's fighting a lot of the bad guys, he'll just give them little remarks, and sometimes he'll think it to himself, but a lot of the time he'll be saying it to them and they'll be getting more and more angry. I think with Vulture, he calls him like the old man or old guy or something crazy like that, because I think in the comics he's a lot older than he's portrayed in Homecoming, isn't he?
Yeah, like 60, 70, 80 in there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you know, he's really powerful. I know that in the comics. Actually, to be fair, like a lot of the people that Spider-Man come up against, they do actually overpower him by quite a big margin. So Spider-Man's got to be really clever. But I think with Vulture, it's just a matter of how do I get the wings off him, or how do I get him away from the wings, or how do I turn the wings off, innit? It's that kind of a thing. And then once he manages to do that, it's just an old man just falling down towards the ground.
Yeah, whereas with Mysterio, it's what am I seeing that's actually real?
Yeah.
Because Mysterio, before being a supervillain, was a stuntman and a special effects star in the movies. He tried being an actor and a director, and just for whatever reason couldn't pull it off. So he took all his special effects skills and turned it into being a supervillain.
Oh, really? Is that what he did?
Yeah, his first mission was to go out and emulate the shit out of Spider-Man so that J. Jonah Jameson could see Mysterio catch Spider-Man and declare him a new hero.
Oh, so that's cool. So he's basically using all these skills that he's built up from being a stuntman and all this stuff, and he somehow turned it into giving himself superpowers.
Yeah, he's made Spider-Man think he was tiny. He's, in that original mission he had, he made Spider-Man think that maybe he was doing all this bad stuff and just had this personality that he couldn't see all the time.
That's cool, because it's kind of like trolling to the max, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's just basically like just messing with someone's head, you know, to make them just continuously doubt themselves, basically, which is actually pretty cool. So I'm sure that Spider-Man was just, like you said, he's trying to think of like, what can I say to kind of get to this guy, because he'd obviously planned stuff. Mysterio, he's obviously planned things out, he knows what he's going to do. So Spider-Man's got to think, okay, like, what's going to work? So what kind of stuff did work when Spider-Man faced Mysterio?
Well, the spider sense is something that Mysterio can't really do anything about. So if the spider senses are kicking in right, that's Spider-Man's main thing. But like, if he's using mirrors for something, you can go break the mirrors. Spider-Man can, you know, just be smart and remember that he's not 6 inches tall. And, yeah. Or the other way of these other things can't be that big. So there's so got to be something weird going on.
What would he do? What would he do to make Spider-Man think he's tiny? I need to get it right in my head. I feel like Mysterio's kind of working on me.
All the kinds of special effects things that you would use to, like, when they make Godzilla look as big as they do for, or the city as small as they do with that, or some kind of, like, hallucinogenic stuff in the mist that he'll send out sometimes.
Yeah, so probably send out a gas, and you might not even know that you've inhaled the gas. The next thing you know, you're thinking, what is going on? That's cool, because then Spider-Man must have been like fighting himself. You know, he's working hard against himself, so Mysterio's probably just laughing his head off. That's actually kind of the. That sounds really good, actually. I like the sound of that.
Spider-Man has tons of good villains. I mean, one of the better ones for a really long time in the series was Hobgoblin.
Yeah, Hobgoblin. So I need you to, like, help me with something, right? How is Hobgoblin different to the Green Goblin?
Okay, so originally you had Green Goblin. That was Harry Osborn. He made some kind of formula, drank it, did his fancy science tech stuff. The formula turned him, gave him super strength, all his fancy science, gave him all his gadgets, but the formula also made him go insane. Hobgoblin is a completely different character. We don't know about this when the game came out, but eventually you find out that it was a guy named Roderick Kingsley.
Yeah.
One of his, like, co-workers was kind of snooping around in the Osborn labs, found the secret room where Harry kept all the Green Goblin stuff.
Oh.
And so Roderick went, checked it out, stole enough stuff so that he could recreate it for himself, and made himself some Hobgoblin things.
Oh, so okay. I see.
But for the longest time, like, he was tricking other people or forcing other people into wearing the Hobgoblin costume so that if Spider-Man caught him, it would be some random guy that wasn't really the Hobgoblin costume. It was just somebody strapped onto his little hoverboard.
Oh, so it's like a ploy. It's like he was, so like you said, he's tricking people. He's probably watching what's happening and seeing what works, so that when he finally dons the suit, he's kind of got an advantage over Spider-Man already.
Yeah, and in the 94 cartoon, there's a lot of interaction between Green Goblin and Hobgoblin. Harry actually hires him to go out and kind of take out Spider-Man for him.
Okay. Now, my boys will probably know a lot more about that because they watch so much of the cartoons. So, in your opinion, who would you say is superior out of the Green Goblin and Hobgoblin if you had to pick?
I would probably say Hobgoblin, because you don't have that going insane aspect to him as much. That being said, he's got a little bit of the insanity going all by himself.
Okay. Just without any of the anything, just him, his own brain is just a bit crazy.
Yeah.
That always helps in a supervillain. That's actually kind of a good thing for them to kind of be a bit twisted anyway.
It definitely makes it more exciting, because if you just have somebody that's, I want to take over the city, but I'm going to be sane, it's just kind of boring.
Yeah, they need to have that need to be kind of a bit off-center. Like, some of the stuff that they do, it kind of leads to their downfall anyway. But it is super entertaining though when you just got someone who's just crazy. And even like Spider-Man will be like, this guy is nuts. You know, he's even thinking it to himself. Crazy with all that, whatever power this villain's got. It's made him go mad. And to imagine there were six of them. With the Sinister Six, they came after Spider-Man, like one after the other.
Yep. And so then at some point, mostly Doc Ock just decided that they probably had a better chance of taking out Spider-Man if they worked together.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It kind of helps the storyline to go along, but like anyone, because a lot of these guys, they're like, especially Dr. Octopus, he's very clever. I think the reason why they couldn't kind of all go at Spider-Man in one time, they just couldn't get along, isn't it?
Yeah. Even though they all had that same goal of taking out Spider-Man, they all wanted to be the person to actually take out Spider-Man. So, especially toward the end of the plan, a lot of times they would just kind of trip over each other's feet, screw each other up, and allow Spider-Man to get away and defeat him.
Yeah, so then in the end, they have to go at him one by one, you know, all in different locations. You know, let's try and tire out Spider-Man. Let's get him tired. Let's drain his energy and then just finish him off.
Another thing to know, too, is that if you're sitting there wondering, hey, why didn't we bring up some other characters? There are at least five or six different versions and different lineups of the Sinister Six. We're just focusing on the ones that actually show up in the game today. Because everybody else that shows up in a different lineup of the Sinister Six is going to show up in another game somewhere.
Okay, yeah. There's so many different... I remember looking at it, which I didn't even remember this, but there's a Sinister 12?
There's a 12, there's a 66, there's a 7. There's a Frightful 4 that's a completely different thing.
That's just crazy, you know? And the thing about Spider-Man, yeah, like he says, you know, I'm your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. So it's like, he's also dealing with just, you know, common people that are just, you know, they're just burglars, or not they're just burglars, but they're doing like petty crimes. And every now and then you get teams of people planning and coming up against him. The Spider-Man can never rest. He can never rest, can he?
No, not at all.
They even show that kind of stuff like in the films. They show, you know, all through the different films, they show when he's like, he gets really stressed, he's not sleeping well, he's got to worry about his aunt, you know, whether she's sick or whatever, and he's thinking about even something like homework, like I need to do this thing, I need to do well at school, as well as being Spider-Man. It's crazy, man. Like, but what are you going to say, Chris?
And he must live in a really dangerous neighborhood if he's got all these people out there ready to get him.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, boy, I would say like maybe he should move out, but he probably wouldn't even want to because he wants to protect his neighborhood. You know, a valiant thing for such a young boy. I wish everyone growing up had those kind of morals, man.
No, but speaking of young boys, you did send me a clip earlier of a conversation you had with a couple of yours. So we'll slip that in here because it's the cutest thing I've heard all day.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so perfect. So I'm at work today. And I won't be back home until late, okay? You guys will be asleep by the time I get back.
What time are you getting back?
Oh, late, like after 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
I know. But it's okay. It's all right. I'll see you guys tomorrow in the daytime. But what I'm going to do, all right, is I want to talk to you guys because I'm going to be on a podcast called Play Comics. And it's a really good podcast where, you know, they talk about comics and they talk about the characters in them and they talk about films and stuff that those characters are in. And I'm going to be on the episode that's to do with Spider-Man.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Perfect. So, yeah. Go on, do the theme tune. What? Okay, all right, that was good. That was good. I like that.
On the beginning part, doesn't mean the whole thing.
Okay, okay. You guys like it, innit? Now, when I was young, I used to watch Spider-Man, but remember the old one that I showed you guys one time, the old one, right? But you guys watch, oh, you don't remember?
You mean the game?
No, the TV series.
No.
I don't remember. Okay, it doesn't matter, because you guys, you tell me, what do you guys watch? What Spider-Man TV series do you watch? What's it called?
Marvel Spider-Man. A little bit of Spectacular Spider and mostly Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ultimate Spider-Man and Marvel Spider-Man, yeah?
Yeah.
Alright, so cool. So, I want you guys to take it in turns and tell me what you like about those series. So, Israel, you tell me first.
You know Spider-Man?
Yeah.
He has a team. With Nova, Iron Fist, Nova, and the White Tiger.
Nova, Iron Fist, Nova, and White Tiger.
Okay.
Nova, so Iron Fist, and White Tiger. Power Man, which is Luke Cage, and him.
Wow. So he's got a team with him in that one, yeah?
Yeah. Sometimes, and one time he joined the Avengers.
Oh, just like in the films, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So what do you guys like most about that TV series? Because you guys watch so much of it.
Firstly, when it turns grey, everything turns blossom except for him. And then he does some funny jokes in that.
It's funny. He's always telling funny jokes, isn't he, when he's fighting the villains, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man's funny like that, man.
And Daddy?
Yeah.
One of the episodes, Deadpool was doing some funny jokes. Like Deadpool was in it. He was doing stuff with Spider-Man. And it was, like, really funny.
Oh, really? Oh, see? So even Deadpool joined him, too. Okay, well, we can't really... You guys haven't seen that film yet, because it's a bit... That's for when you guys are a bit older. But for now, even the other day, we went and saw... Infinity War, which was really good, and Spider-Man played a good part in that, didn't he? Now, we're not going to talk about what Spider-Man did, because some people that hear this conversation, they might not have seen the film, so we're not going to say anything that happened in the film, but was Spider-Man really good in that film?
Yeah.
He was, wasn't he? So, would you say Spider-Man is one of your favourite
characters? He climbed on the spaceship.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. We're not going to say too much about what he did, yeah?
Okay.
But would you say that he's one of the better superheroes or he's one of the not-so-good superheroes?
So, Daddy, in the movies, those people are so good, he's just a backup guy. In the cartoons, he's really good. He kicks, like, and punches teeth a bit like there's nothing.
Yeah, in the cartoons, he's like the star, isn't he? Yeah, that's true. All right, guys. So I just wanted to know what you guys thought. And obviously, I didn't think about it until I was at work. But at least you got to talk a little bit about Spider-Man to me, isn't it? Because normally you guys are just watching it and I'm just like doing stuff around the house, isn't it? Me and mummy and doing whatever, or you have to do your homeschooling and stuff. All right, guys. So anything else you want to say about Spider-Man? Who do you think is Spider-Man's villain that he finds it hardest against?
You mean the worst villain? His worst enemy.
Yeah, who do you think his worst enemy is?
Doctor Octopus.
Dr. Yeah, Octopus.
I think Venom.
You think Venom?
Because he can go into Spider-Man. And
you
then
see,
he,
yeah.
He possesses him.
He possesses him. He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dr. Octopus and Venom, mm-hmm. they are two very good villains. Spider-Man always manages to defeat them, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh, well, we all love Spider-Man. All right, guys. So I have to go. I have to get back to work. Okay? And, mm-hmm. you know, I'll speak to you guys later, okay? When you go to bed, have a good sleep, okay?
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Now, see, I mean, how can you not be a fan of Spider-Man hearing how excited they are?
Yeah, man, my boys, my two elder boys, I've got three boys, and my last child is a beautiful little girl. I told them I was going to be on Play Comics, and they were so excited because, you know, you sit them down and you say, all right, what do you want to watch? And I've got quite a big collection of stuff, which I don't even really get to watch. They love watching Spider-Man. They love the films. They love the animated TV series. They even loved the game. Okay, Spider-Man Return of the Sinister Six. They loved playing it because they love playing like the older games. Because it's just something new and exciting for them. But yeah, I can say, you know, I am their dad. But yeah, I do have lovely, lovely, cute young boy. So I'm a very proud dad. I hope your listeners enjoyed hearing that conversation.
I'm sure they will. So we're going to take a little bit of a break, drop a promo for another show, and then come back and talk about the game.
Here in the forests of Borneo's tropical lowlands, a clever creature spends its days swinging from tree to tree with its long, powerful arms.
What are you doing? Where are the cameras?
What do you mean? I...
What do you mean? We're recording the promo for Play Comics to invite his listeners to check out Life, Death, and Taxonomy, the podcast that delivers 30 minutes of interesting animal info, like how there are ants that farm fungus and fish that fuse their faces to each other.
And the podcast that delivers humorous and ridiculous size comparisons, yes. But isn't this an audio promo?
Yes.
So why are we on location in Borneo? We could have been in the deluxe studio.
Because we're serious method podcasters, that's why.
All right, carry on.
Listen to Life, Death, and Taxonomy on iTunes, Google Play, and anywhere podcasts can be found.
Well, that's a great show too, but first we need to finish listening to this one. So, Issa, what were your initial thoughts here playing this wonderful LJN giant pile of poop?
Oh, man. I can't believe you put me through this, Chris, you know.
I can't either.
I don't know why you do this to me. I mean, I know about LJN because I listen to your podcast, okay? I've actually got you on auto-download, so you automatically go into my playlist. And I'm hearing a lot about this LJN. So, I see the game and I see LJN on it. Okay, I try to be positive. I try to keep positive. I say, all right, how can I keep positive? All right. The boys love Spider-Man. Let's fire up the emulator. Okay, let's plug in a joypad. So, you know, we don't have to use the keyboard. You know, I'm trying to eliminate anything that can come along and just make me go crazy. So I'm taking the right steps, aren't I, Chris? I'm getting my children involved. I'm trying to be positive. I'm plugging in a controller so we can play quite comfortably. It still didn't work out, Chris.
No, I mean, this thing's horrible. There's no other way about it.
Man, I mean, my kids can... They dealt with it much better than me. And there'll be times where I'll be right next to an enemy and I'll try to do like a flying kick and I wouldn't touch them. It was so annoying. And then I'm trying to make my way through the game. I've got this music just going. This music is not changing. There's no changing key. It's just going and going and going. I almost went mad. I want to know what you think, because you have played a few of these games, okay? You have to. I like the way that you've got like a system, so you don't just pick like what you just feel like playing. You have to kind of follow your system. So how did you deal with it?
I've played this one before a few times years ago, so I kind of knew what I was getting into. But you can never be ready for this one at all. Spider-Man, he doesn't look too good. None of the sprites really look too good in here. The henchmen are just kind of waddling around, just randomly kind of shooting in a direction, playing zone defense instead of actually going after you.
Exactly.
Your webbing is limited, which I do like that. Because, I mean, being able to run out of webbing is a thing Spider-Man had to worry about. So I always do like that part.
Yeah, you don't just have unlimited webbing. I mean, things like that are important. So you're not just running around the game shooting webbing at the baddies. But everything kind of just explodes as well. It was just really weird. It was just, I was like, you're defeating these enemies. They're just exploding. Everything just explodes. I didn't know what to do with that.
This thing just screams to me that somebody was working on a game and then was told they should make a Spider-Man game. So they took this game they'd already been working on and just slapped some Spider-Man art on it. Because Spider-Man doesn't make people explode. I mean, that's just weird.
Exactly. I mean, even one of my boys said to me, why do they explode when you defeat them? I didn't know what to say to them. I didn't. Do you know what I mean? I didn't have anything to say. I mean, I would suppose that the positives of this game are it's quite easy to just pick up and play. I mean, but then again, it's on the NES, so it's only really like what. It's not that many buttons to think of and stuff, but you can kind of pick it up and play. I mean, how many levels? It's one level per member of the Sinister Six, so you've got six levels.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's easy to kind of go through. You can get through the game actually quite easily without having to really think too hard. But then again, a lot of the time, when you do try to think and you try to do stuff that you think like would work because it makes sense, you just get frustrated. Even something like your health bar, it was really weird because then even when it's empty, you can still take a few more hits, but you don't know how many hits. Do you get what I'm saying, Chris? You don't even know.
Yeah, like the hit detection on the enemies too is just ridiculous. Like, I can maybe get it on like the regular henchmen, you know, two or three hits. Okay, fine. You hit them again, not a big deal. But when you finally get to the end of the level and you've got your big boss for the level and you have no idea how many times you've hit him, that just gets so frustrating.
I know. I mean, if you're going to look for another positive, if you get through this game and you don't smash your laptop or your keyboard or your controller, I would guess that it's a good way to kind of build up character. You know, you would have put yourself through so much. You've built up your character that much just by playing this game. So, I don't know. Maybe LJN, they said, look, we're going to build the character of the children. I don't know. I don't even know what to say, man.
And what's kind of double frustrating for me, and I've hinted at this before, eventually we're going to get to some good LJN games. They do exist.
Do they?
They do.
Well, I guess it just wasn't meant to be. I mean, I would have liked to have played a good one. I'm just going to have to keep listening and kind of play along.
It'll be a while before it happens.
Oh, man, I can just, you know, from what I've heard on Play Comics and what I had to go through, I feel like I've just joined a list of people in the world that have played one of these terrible games. So I don't know, maybe someone starts up like a club, people that have played bad LJN games, we can all get together, have some coffee, some water, some biscuits, and talk about how frustrated it made us, but how we still made it through. I guess that's another positive. And the music kind of gets in your head. Like, after me and my boys were all humming the music, I think my wife, she was like, "What are you guys humming?" And we were like, "Oh, sorry, we're just playing, you know, Spider-Man Return of the Sinister Six. That music's just in our head." So, I don't know, man. I don't know. Either way, it was father and son bonding time too. So, I suppose that's another way to look at it. This was on another system as well, wasn't it?
Right, it was on the Master System, and it looks so much better on that one.
Doesn't it just look more colorful? There's a bit more detail.
I mean, I generally think Master System games look better than regular Nintendo games anyway. So yeah. That's not a surprise to me.
Yeah, it's true, but I just remember after I played it, and, you know, I went online, and I'm looking through what other people thought, and then I saw that was on the Master System, and I saw how nice it looked. I was thinking, so they saved it for there. Okay, well, that's just how it is. I still love the NES and the SNES, anyway, as we call it over here in the UK. It was an experience, let's put it that way. It was something that I did to be on Play Comics, which I'm very happy to be on the podcast. Unfortunately, I had to play this game. But, what can you do, eh?
It does get you a free ticket to come back for something better.
Yeah, I'll take you up on that, Chris. Please, let's just not make it a game like this. I mean, my boys really pulled me through. Funnily enough, okay, my boys, they actually dealt with it a lot better than me. So they kind of just took it as a challenge, you know, like trying to swing with the webbing, you know, that's a bit random, and trying to climb up a rope, which is kind of almost impossible. And you know, those kind of things. And I'm just like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I tried, but they were like, okay, this is a challenge, you know, and I'm trying to tell them, you know, the game should be able to detect a bit easier that there's a rope there. They're like, yeah, daddy, we know. They just took it as a challenge. And when they did it, it was like a mini celebration. We're all like, yeah, we climbed the rope, you know. It's just one of those things, man. So it was fun. It was actually fun.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of it was you're going into it knowing that it's an LJN game. You know what that means. They don't.
Exactly. So just let kids be kids, man. I mean, back in the day, I played so many games on the SNES when I was younger. I didn't actually have one. It was actually my older brother that had one. But when I was good to him, or I did some chores for him, he'll let me play a bit. And when I go back and play some of those games, I do think, oh, I actually enjoyed this game. But that's the great thing about playing games when you're young. You look at it completely different. And in a way, that's quite a beautiful thing. So, well done, LJN, for the kids, maybe. I'm trying to pull positives out of thin air, man. I'm trying. I don't want to be too negative.
I mean, okay, so the cutscenes that they have between stages, those really aren't that bad.
Yeah, they you know, they bring they make the story go on quite nicely. Yeah, they are. And I mean, especially for that time, this came out in, was it 92 or 93?
Right.
Was it 92?
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, it wasn't too bad. It was, you know, if you're playing it with someone who especially like children who don't really know about the Sinister Six, those little cards, it looks like them, right? And they got nice colors, they're all right. So, you know, you kind of, it kind of brings the story along a bit more, but that's like a drop in the ocean of all the other stuff you have to deal with, man. Let's be honest.
Oh, I know. From horrible hit detection to setting up the buttons backwards on the controller.
Yeah. Sorry. Like, I was thinking, because someone, I watched like a gameplay of it, and they were saying that, and I was thinking, did they really do that? Did they really do that? That's what I was thinking.
They did, and it takes so much getting used to that. My brain is just all the time, A is jump, B is whatever your other thing is. And this one wasn't like that.
I mean, I think we're linking things up here. We spoke about the Sinister Six. It's a Sinister Six game. I think Mysterio made that game.
I am totally down with that.
Because he switched the buttons around, he done all this stuff, he put some hypnotizing music, you know, to continuously play. How many different songs? I counted two. Are there really only two different songs in this game?
Yeah, that's it. It just kind of trades back and forth when you switch levels.
So Mysterio made the game. I mean, in that way, it's kind of a masterpiece, because first you're hypnotized, and then you're completely baffled with the button layout, and, you know, you finish a level, and then you realize, but I'm just doing the same thing again. So, well done, Mysterio.
I know, Doc Ock level. It's the exact same one as one of the levels you've seen earlier in the game.
Exactly. So it's like you're just coming back to it. I mean, to do something like that, that's kind of trolling. That's like trolling the player. Really weird. But, you know, I mean, I guess because it's so easy to pick up and play, and then it's like, with a lot of people, it's like, you know, a lot of people, when they start a game, they want to finish it. They just want to be able to say to themselves, okay, I finished the game.
Yeah.
And I think LJN probably know that a bit. So it's like, well, people are going to want to finish it, you know. And I'm sure that a lot of the people that picked it up actually finished it. And if you did, round of applause. Good job.
You're a better gamer than me if you can finish it, because I can't make myself do that.
Yeah, I can't, man.
Not with this one.
I mean, I've got kids, man. I'm a family man. I'm not going to go crazy playing this game. I can't. So, sorry, LJN, I didn't complete it. Sorry, LJN. No, not sorry, LJN. Sorry, Mysterio. I didn't... Well, yes, Mysterio. I'm kind of like Spider-Man. I defeated you. I did not finish the game. Your plan never worked. So how about that?
LJN teaming up with Mysterio to troll people. Exactly. It's the only explanation.
Yeah. We're on to you. We're on to you.
That almost makes me excited to get onto another LJN game.
Isn't it? You see, so look, we're finding positives here. We managed to do it, you know. People out there, you great people out there listening, if you do pick up this game, if you want to play this game after hearing what me and Chris have to say, because you just want to see for yourself, try it. Try it and get back to Chris. If you're upset, you get back to Chris, not me.
Yeah, okay. Definitely get back to me, because I can take it. If you're going to want to play this game, as much as I don't want Nintendo and whatever company owns copyrights now to do this, go play it on an emulator. See what you're getting into first, because you don't want to spend money on this unless you know you actually want it.
Yeah, if you're into, like, I don't know, like... self-torture. You just want to mentally see how far you can go, how far you can push yourself, then yeah, fire up an emulator and have a go. You will learn a lot about yourself.
Normally I'd ask either what's good or what's bad, depending on what's left, but I think we hit all that already. So
yeah,
with that, I guess we probably hit just about everything worth hitting on this one.
Yeah, I think so. All in all, it was an experience, and it was worth it to come on here. So I'll take that any day, man. I'm a big fan.
We'll definitely get you on for something better.
Yeah, we have to. We have to, man. I'll be back. If you invite me, I will come back. And hopefully something where we can have like a really cool, positive conversation. Actually, when we get to the next good LJN game, you contact me. And then we'll have a much better conversation. All happy and great.
Here's a little peek behind the curtain. We were supposed to have a third person here who will remain nameless, but he knows exactly who he is.
Yes, he does.
We'll get him on that one too.
We will get him. We will get him on that one. Yeah. Yeah, let's keep him nameless. Let's keep him nameless. But you'll be... do you know what? I think the person that was meant to be here may be part of this whole plan, because they didn't have to play the game. So you, third person, I know what your tricks are.
Okay? I don't know if I'm impressed or really mad at you right now.
Yeah, me too. You actually got me confused. I don't know if you're working in conjunction with Mysterio or what you're doing, but I need to figure out what's going on, because you're a mastermind. I will get you back.
Well, on that note, Issa, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you around the internet?
You've heard a bit about me. I've got a podcast that I host with my wife. It's called Young, Free and Coupled. You can just put Young, Free and Coupled in Google or in Twitter. Just search for it. We just talk about society. We talk about things that are going on without all the extra fodder that you get. You know, we try to get right through to the target of what's happening in society, and we have a really good time doing it. So that's Young, Free and Coupled, all podcasting platforms, all social media. Check us out. You can always contact us, and we're happy to strike up conversation with anyone. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, it's been great having you on, and we'll definitely get you on again, because nobody deserves have their only appearance here be an LJN horrible fest.
I so look forward to it, trust me.
All right, we're going to drop a promo for another show, and then we'll come back and I'll close things out.
Hey everybody, this is your best friend Steven.
And this is your best friend Chris.
And we're the hosts of the podcast, Is This Adulting?
Every week, we sit down to talk about life, debate pointless topics, and most importantly, break the stigma on mental illness through opening up about our own struggles and how it affects us every day. Oh, and do you like games? We got those too.
What about guests from all your favorite podcasts?
Ooh, like Justin from Generation Y, or Nina from Already Gone, or Hal Lublin from everything? And of course, you can't forget our special guest, Tom Baudet from those Motel 6 commercials. Okay, that last one might have been a stretch.
Yeah, just like them. So, join us each Thursday as we attempt to navigate adulthood as overgrown man children. And remember, kids, be happy, stay healthy, and go hug someone.
Because you never know, they might just be the host of your new favorite podcast.
Thanks again to Issa for coming on the show with us today. I've been looking forward to this for a while, and you should definitely go check out Young, Free, and Coupled. Speaking of things you should check out, Life, Death, and Taxonomy, and Is This Adulting? Two wonderful shows made by wonderful people. And speaking of wonderful people, you can also go check out the guy who makes this wonderful music, Best Day, over on SoundCloud. Just go to SoundCloud, search for Best Day. This show is part of the Brain Trust Network, where you can hear wonderful shows such as Life, Death, and Taxonomy. There is Field of Screams. There's Oh No Lit Class. It's just full of wonderful things. And finally, if you like us, tell your friends about us. And if you don't have enough friends to tell, then go tell iTunes about us with some 5-star reviews, maybe? I don't know. We'll see what happens. Until then, grab a stack of comics, grab a game, and go find yourself a new favorite character.
Podcast is brought to you in part by the Braintrust Brothers Network. For more information about this podcast or others, visit braintrustbros.com.